Welcome to Hashtag Creaky. And here are your hosts, Megan and Brooks.
Thank you, disembodied voice.
Much appreciated intro from you.
Yeah.
Almost left it off.
Okay. Okay. Oh, all right. This is serious business we're doing here today.
Yes. We have a great topic for the Hashtag Creaky today.
We do. The Bell Witch, not to be confused with the Blair Witch.
Yes, which I'll confuse that with.
Yes. The Bell Witch is real. The Blair Witch, not real.
Oh.
Yeah. So, this happened near Adams, Tennessee. If you go to Adams, Tennessee, there is a cave and historical marker on a farm where the family of John Bell lived in the early 1800s. It was the scene of a series of mysterious manifestations that became known as the Bell Witch Haunting. Now, Brooks, you've never heard of the Bell Witch, have you?
No. No, I haven't.
So as I was researching the Bell Witch, it just kept getting creepier and creepier.
And how
so? Because it's been going on for over 200 years.
So it's still active?
It's still active. It all started when John Bell and his wife Lucy and their 9 children and family of slaves moved from North Carolina to Tennessee. And this was around 1804. Bell bought a farm of 300 acres, pretty big farm.
Wow.
Yeah. And then it didn't happen right away. It actually started happening, the haunting, in 1817. They began to experience unexplained phenomena that was centered around their daughters, especially their one daughter, Betsy. She experienced a lot. Yeah. They began hearing noises like scratching, knocks on the walls, chains being dragged to get across the floor. And this is something that an author and historian wrote about. Her name is Pat Fitzhugh. She actually wrote 2 books about the events, and I read one of the books just to get some background information for the podcast. It's pretty interesting. If anybody out there wants to go and look up Pat Fitzhugh, who wrote books on the Bell Witch haunting. But yeah, that's what it started as. They heard something, sounded like it was chewing on the bedposts. And then John Bell encountered a strange animal in his fields that they actually tried to hunt but never could get. It's described as having the body of a dog and the head of a rabbit, which is kind of weird to imagine. So at first it was just sounds, and then the daughters began complaining of something pulling their covers and trying to pinch them while they were sleeping. And for over a year after it started, they didn't tell anybody about the events taking place. They worried about what their church might think and people in the community might think that they were just crazy. But it didn't stop. It just kept getting worse and worse. So finally, John told one of his neighbors about the strange incidents happening, and his neighbor came over and experienced the exact same thing. So before long, people all over knew about it and would come to the farm, and they would all experience the same kind of sounds and everything, which, you know, it's kind of crazy. People usually go to try to debunk things, but none of them could because they all heard it. As time went on, the family started hearing a loud pounding on the outside of their cabin, and then Betsy was attacked in her sleep. And this attack left bruises and welts on her face.
How old was she?
I'm not sure. Since they had 9 children, it doesn't really say their ages. In the pictures, it looks like Betsy was one of the middle children. So I would guess around 7 or 8 at the time. But yeah, the neighbors that experienced the same thing, they had actually spent the night, and what they experienced was noises and things moving by themselves. and they started hearing a voice now, which they hadn't heard before. It was more just noises.
Mm-hmm.
And they could tell that the voice was quoting scripture and singing hymns.
Oh.
Yeah. Over time, the voice, which they would start to call the witch, began addressing family members by name. The mother heard the witch say that she hated John Bell and vowed to kill him. The witch also spoke to Betsy and warned her against marrying her intended, which was Josh Gardner. So, you know, when the kids were young, they would actually marry them off before they became of age. So she was married off to Joshua Gardner, but the marriage hadn't happened yet. She just knew that was who she was going to marry.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, just the way of the times back then. So in 1818, John Bell was excommunicated from his church, which means like he was basically kicked out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
The official reason was a charge of usury over a slave sale. I'm not really sure what a charge of usury is. I'm guessing that he wasn't honest in the slave sale, but most people think it was because of the supernatural events that were happening. And that was just, you know, a fake excuse.
Like a cover for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In 1819, General Andrew Jackson, who went on to become president, paid a visit to the Bell homestead. The three oldest Bell sons had actually served under Jackson during the Battle of New Orleans. And they told him the story of the Bell Witch, so he wanted to come and experience it for himself. As they approached the farm, the wagon stopped and the horses could not pull it from its position. It was like stuck. After trying to get the wagon going for some time, Jackson exclaimed, "By the eternal, boys, it is the witch." And then a female voice was heard saying, "All right, General, let the wagon move on. I will see you again tonight." Like, everybody heard it.
Oh.
Yeah. And then the horses were able to pull the wagon after they heard that voice. Jackson had planned to stay a week, but the group, having experienced more of the witch's attacks overnight, left the Bell farm the next day. So he didn't stay a week. He just stayed one night.
Golly.
Yeah. These events actually appear in Jackson's personal writings that were found that he had. So he wrote about it. I think it scared him that much. And as time went on, John Bell referred to the witch as Kate. Now, there is a story about Kate. They claimed it was the witch of a local lady named Kate Batts. So when John Bell bought the land, he actually took some of her land. It came in the sale that she didn't agree to. And she said, she's quoted as saying that she was going to haunt the Bell family for generations to come because that she didn't agree that they took her land. Which, yeah, I mean, if it's her, then that would explain the hauntings for generations.
But she was alive during the purchase, I assume.
Yeah, she was.
Curse them.
Yeah, she was alive during the purchase, and then apparently these hauntings didn't take place until after she died.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there, a lot of things happened between the time that it first started, and then John Bell actually died in 1820. So that was 3 years after everything had started. I don't know if the witch killed him or not, but he was 70, and the family found a mysterious vial in the room where his body was found.
Mm-hmm.
They fed the liquid to the cat, and then the cat immediately died. And they heard the witch's voice take credit for Bell's death. The witch reportedly laughed and sang constantly during Bell's burial on the farm. So during his funeral, everybody could hear the witch laughing and singing.
Whoa.
Yeah. A year later, a voice warned Belle's widow, her name was Lucy, that she would return for more haunting in 7 years. And then 7 years later, she made another appearance in a discussion with John Bell Jr., in which the voice predicted the Civil War. So lots of things happened then. And then the sources of the Bell Witch haunting have been passed down. People have gone to spend the night on the Bell Witch land and have reported, hearing strange things, a lady singing. But as far as the Bell family, that was the last time that they had heard her, was in the discussion with John Bell Jr. that predicted the Civil War. But other people travel to the John Bell land, which now has been split up and sold. It's no longer in the family, which a lot of those farms are like that now. And also, the witch strongly opposed the marriage of Betsy and Josh Gardner, as we had said. Actually, Betsy ended the relationship out of fright, and she married her school teacher in 1824, which is kind of weird, but I guess not for that era.
Well.
Also experienced some of the haunting whenever he would go visit Betsy on the farm. He would hear the voices and hear the different things moving. So the family believes that the witch killed John Bell. I don't know if it was poison that he drank. Maybe he killed himself because of the haunting. Who knows?
Drove him to it?
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought of. And he said about the vial and the fed to the cat, and it was obviously poison that
mm-hmm.
And maybe the witch drove him to it or somehow made him drink it.
Right. And, you can actually visit the Bell Farm and the nearby cave that they call the Bell Witch Cave now. So even though the land has been split up and sold, they created a recreation of the house with furnishings that are recreation and some actual artifacts. And it's just on the spot where the house was. So they give tours, and people that are on the tours have reported hearing strange sounds, a lady singing, and things being moved without anybody touching them.
Hmm.
And that is the story of the Bell Witch. I think it happened because of all the different people, especially Andrew Jackson.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty dependable source.
Yeah, and the Blair Witch has some base from the Bell Witch. So the people that created the Blair Witch took some things from the Bell Witch. At nighttime, things happening at night. I don't know if you remember in the movie when they were sleeping and the tent started going crazy because of something outside.
Mm-hmm.
And you could hear screams far off. It would have been kind of cool if they had a half dog, half rabbit in the movie.
Yeah. Well, that was interesting too. I mean, I have some accounts I've seen of I've seen online of, back in the day, the farmers and stuff like that having encounters with these strange animals.
Right.
And not being able to kill them.
Yeah. They hunted this animal and never was able to kill it. And it's hard for me to think about what it looked like because it's weird thinking about a dog with a rabbit head because a rabbit's small and I'm guessing it's a larger dog.
Yeah. I'm sure this head was proportionate to his body when they saw it, though.
Yeah.
I would think.
It makes me think of, what are they? The skinwalkers?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one that I heard of was, and it could be there's some more spiritual base about these, things that could take forms of animals.
Right.
Because the one I had heard of and seen was that it was a farmer, and they had seen a very large wolf, like an extremely large wolf on their property. And it had gotten one of their, it was either a sheep or a goat. It had gotten one of their sheep or goat through like the fencing. They ran, the father and son ran to the house, grabbed their guns and started shooting it. And they said that they could see the bullets hitting and like wounds opening up, but the animal didn't even flinch from the hits and there was no blood.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard a story that guy told that him and a group of staff members, I think it was like the YMCA, they were doing a lock-in. And so after the kids had settled down, they all went outside, and some people were smoking, other people just went outside to talk. And as they were out there, they saw what looked like a coyote. And it was far off, so they didn't, you know, really pay attention to it, but it was looking at them the whole time. And then it just started getting closer. They would start talking, and then they would look at it, and it would be closer to them. Like, it would stop when they looked at it. And then it started running at them, and they all ran to get into the building, and there was, like, glass there. The doors were glass. Mm-hmm. And it started, like, banging up against the glass, trying to break it. And since it couldn't break it, it just started, you know, walking back and forth in front of the glass, looking at them the whole time. And they said it was really like mangy looking, and it was really skinny, and its knees went the wrong way. Like, its knees were basically going the wrong direction of where it should have been.
That's a pretty common description of skinwalkers.
Yeah. And so he said it kind of gave up, and as it walked away, it like went up on its two legs and walked away.
Yep. That's another description of walking upright.
Yeah. He said that they waited until, you know, it was daylight before they let any of the kids leave, because the parents had come early to get them and it was dark. And they told them that they couldn't let them leave until it was daylight outside, because they had seen some strange animal. They didn't want them to get attacked. They didn't tell the parents exactly what they had saw, because they didn't want to seem crazy.
The door yelling, you know, there's a skinwalker, get back in your car.
Yeah, it's going to kill you. And there's been several books on the Bell Witch, which I would, you know, recommend people reading, because it goes into other people's accounts that had come to stay on the farm just to see what would happen. There's actually, if you go to Adams, Tennessee, this is where all of this happened. I don't think it was Adams then, but now the name of the town is Adams. There is like one of those little signs, the plaque. Those usually mark like historical areas. Mm-hmm. And it goes over the Bell Witch. So it's pretty important to the history of this area of Tennessee. And lots of people, ghost hunters, visit the site of the Adams Farm to see if they can either debunk it or experience.
That was going to be my next question, is if people can investigate it. Because this sounds like something that I would like to investigate.
I think I would too. You know, it said that in 1828, when she, you know, predicted the Civil War, she also told John Bell that she was going to return but it would be 107 years later. Mm-hmm. So that would be 1935. And I don't know if she returned in 1935 specifically, because there's no accounts that I could find of people visiting the farm in 1935 just to see if she shows up. I imagine people around the area may see skinwalkers, and it may be her. And they just don't know it, you know?
Yeah, because that's a possibility of things like that, which is anything spiritually that can take the form of animals. That's the first thing I thought of, like I said, with that encounter that a farmer had that I've seen about when they had that encounter with that large wolf, is that it was something, you know, otherworldly, and it's probably something that could take the form of animals.
Right. You know, Let's take a break, and then I will tell you about this psychic who claims to know the true Bell Witch story.
Ooh.
We're back. This is a pretty interesting. So A&E did a 5-part series on the Bell Witch, and it was called Curse the Bell Witch. This was a while back. I'm not sure exactly when, but I found this story from it. And in this 5-part series, they interview this clairvoyant from Mississippi, who says she knows the real story behind the 200-year-old tale, and says she got it directly from Betsy Bell, who, according to the legend, was tortured for years. The Bell Witch, you know, not only focused her attention on John, but also on Betsy. She says, some people will not agree with me, and that's okay, but I gave Betsy Bell a voice to say what really happened. So, according to her, Betsy Bell's ghost is talking to her.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Sarah Delaney Pugh. She's goes by the name Angel Lee, and she is from Leakesville, Mississippi. She says, as a Christian, when I was told that this could be something evil, it scared me. I had to really pray about it. But once I talked to Betsy, I wanted to help as much as I could. For so many years, she was buried and couldn't tell the truth. Pew was 3 years old when she first started to see things that others couldn't. It terrified her. She kept it from everyone. But eventually, she embraced the fact that she was a clairvoyant. And at the time that she started talking to Betsy, she was 29 years old. So just to kind of give you a little background on Angel or, you know, Sarah, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Whatever she goes by.
Yeah. She was introduced to Sue Clifton, who was a Mississippi-based author and ghost hunter. And they met while filming the A&E series at Betsy Bell's grave in Mississippi. So Betsy Bell moved after she was married and is buried in Mississippi. Clifton, who is the ghost hunter, said she didn't believe in mediums, which is kind of weird to be a ghost hunter and not believe in mediums.
Yeah.
But now she does, because after she met Sarah. She says that Sarah knew personal things about her family that no one could possibly know. And that's usually how the clairvoyants prove that they are who they say they are. So, in Clifton's book, Pew claims that the Bells weren't cursed. The land they chose to settle in, Adams, was cursed. And when they disturbed the land, the curse was set in motion. So she claims it was more a poltergeist than it was a witch.
The land was already active.
Yes. And then once they moved in, it just kind of released all of the negative ghosts and whatever else. And she gives a background on, you know, the strange sounds were reported in 1817. Betsy felt pinches, and she had bruises and welts on her. What we had already discussed happened. So it's not like this was information that nobody else had known.
Yeah.
You know. But Pew says the spirit that tortured Betsy Bell and the rest of her family, even their slaves on the pioneer farm, wasn't responsible for John Bell's death. She says a slave killed John Bell, poisoning him because he could not protect Betsy, then 11, from another family member who was sexually abusing her. She says, I had to give this girl a voice. We had to bring the story to light. We couldn't keep sweeping it under the rug. So it does kind of serious allegations for a medium to be making, who says that she's talking to Betsy Bell. The Bell family actually reacted to this. Bob Bell, who is the 5th great-grandson of John Bell and a lifelong Robertson County resident, which is where the farm was, says Pew's story actually makes sense. She blew me away, he said, for someone who doesn't know anything about the history or hasn't studied it at all. She pretty much nailed it.
What?
Yeah. So I was thinking whenever the family, you know, reacted to it, it was going to be bad, but it was actually them saying, yeah, sounds about right.
Wow.
Yeah. Earlier that summer, so this was a couple of years ago, Bell, who was 52 at the time, said he and the Adams historian Tim Henson took Clifton and Pugh on a tour of places in Adams central to the Bell witch legend. At each site, Pugh would scribble in her notebook, and at the end of the day, she had listed the names of everyone in the Bell family and came up with facts that both men later said she couldn't have known. They said, I'm thoroughly convinced she has a gift that I don't have. She's the real deal. A lot of family isn't going to like it because of the molestation part of it, but for me, the possession factor is central here. The family member wouldn't have done what he did to Betsy for no reason. It's a whole different version than the story I grew up with, but everything she wrote down had some fact to it. That story has as much right to be written as the original book, whether it's true or not, who knows? So that's kind of weird. I mean, John Bell, it sounds more plausible that a slave would poison him versus a witch.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Nobody will ever know for sure. There is a Mississippian named Pat Gordon, who is also a Bell descendant, who can trace her lineage up to John Bell's oldest son, Jesse. And she also lives in Mississippi. She visited Adams for the first time during the A&E show. Mm-hmm. And she had questions about the family's history, and she believes that Clifton and Pugh answered questions that she had. So even the family is looking to this clairvoyant to answer questions that they had about their ancestors.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's probably more if you watch the A&E series, which I haven't because I don't have A&E. But it's called Cursed, the Bell Witch, and it's a 5-part series if anybody's interested in learning more about the Bell Witch and the family and what this clairvoyant Sarah, aka Angel, has to say about the family and Betsy Bell. It's very, very spooky.
One thing I don't really understand that I kind of want to circle back to is that you said that the witch had warned Betsy about who she's supposed to marry. You said it was some gardener.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, why would she warn Betsy about that?
Yeah, I couldn't find anything about exactly why she didn't want Betsy to marry him. I looked him up and tried to see if there were any like records on him, maybe of getting arrested or anything like that, but there wasn't. And she didn't marry him because she was so scared of the warnings. And it doesn't say any other reason why she didn't marry him. So I don't know. It's a mystery. Maybe one that that clairvoyant goes into on the series, since she can talk to Betsy Bell.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not sure. It's a good question. There is no information that I can find on that.
Because it just sounds like the way that she really targeted like Betsy with the whole, you know, pinching and then the attack and everything. Like, why would she go through the trouble of warning her about something like that?
Right. So this clairvoyant believes that the attacks happened by the poltergeist and that the Bell Witch was a separate entity.
Mm.
Yeah, so that may explain that the Bell Witch cared for Betsy, but the poltergeist didn't. Or it could have been the same. If it was the witch, then maybe she was just trying to control her and not let her be with somebody that was going to make her happy.
I mean, that makes sense too. Maybe, you know, keep her in fear.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, even as I was reading, it like says multiple times, the entity, for reason unknown to this day, repeatedly told Betsy not to marry Joshua Gardner. Which, you know, there is some information on him that I did find, but nothing bad. He was one of nine children. He was born in Robertson County, which is the county where the farm was. He actually had encounters with the Bell Witch, but nothing too severe like Betsy was dealing with. I'm trying to see if I could find exactly what I'm looking for.
Because if we ended up going and investigating, you know, ourselves,
right?
One, it'd be good to do it as just a straight up camping trip. You know, of course, take the tour, see the recreation of the home and everything, but actually go out there into the woods and camp and see if we can have any experiences out there.
Yeah.
That would be the way that I would want to do it. We'd probably do like maybe a couple nights out there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know. Andrew Jackson couldn't do more than one night.
Maybe even going through, like, if we plan this correctly, you know, I always think that a lot of these encounters and stuff kind of comes in like these waves or like seasons.
Right.
Maybe we can go through the different accounts and encounters throughout, I mean, what, 200 years?
Right, yeah.
And see, maybe there's a time frame in the year that the experiences are more active.
Yeah.
Just to increase our chances of maybe, you know, getting something evidence-wise or having our own experience with this?
I think so. You know, it'd be cool to do like a road trip and visit everybody's graves, but I'm not really sure how far Betsy Bell's grave is from Robertson County, Tennessee.
John Bell, he's buried there, right?
He is. He's buried there. And actually, Joshua Gardner is buried near there. The man that Betsy did not marry, he got married and was like a successful farmer. He was also the magistrate of the city, which is now Paris, Tennessee. Very fancy. His wife died and he got remarried, and he died in 1887. He is buried in Weakley County, Tennessee, which is close to Robertson County, Tennessee. His younger brother, John, became the first president of the Nashville and Northwestern Railroad, now part of the CSX Railroad. He has, you know, he had a political career. It doesn't seem like he was a bad guy at all.
No, not at all.
It seemed like he was pretty successful and probably made more money than the school teacher that she ended up marrying.
Yeah. So maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was a trick.
Maybe. And maybe that's why one of the reasons why her ghost can't rest, I guess, or pass on. I mean, I understand that the clairvoyant believes it was because she was molested, which, I don't know, it's just, these people can't defend themselves, so it's just weird to just come out and say that that's what you believe. But maybe it's also because she regrets not marrying Joshua Garden.
That's possible as well. Of being too afraid from the warnings.
Right. So yeah, there are drawings, I guess you could say. They're not really paintings or pictures, but they are drawings of Betsy Bell and Joshua Gardner and John Bell and the family in general. If anyone wants to look these up, just, you know, search the Bell Witch Haunting and that you can find a lot of pictures. There are also pictures of what people think that the witch looked like, even though nobody ever said that they saw the witch. They just heard her. I could not find any encounters of where they actually saw the witch. Which, you know, is kind of weird to say that it was a witch but not be able to see the witch. Yeah. But the same kind of thing in the Blair Witch. They never actually saw the witch. in that documentary they did before the Blair Witch, the one that we watched that was actually scarier than the actual movie, where they created the fake documentary.
Yeah.
Which they made seem very real. They interviewed a woman who had seen the Blair Witch and said that she was hairy. I don't know if you remember that.
She was hairy?
Yeah, she was very hairy from head to toe. And she had on like a robe or a shawl or something like that. She opened it up and her whole body was really hairy.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. That's the only person that saw the Blair Witch, though. So, and she could have been just a crazy lady. But nobody, I could not find any sightings of the Bell Witch during my research. There were lots of different versions of the story, too. I kind of put together everything I could from different versions of the story. So if anybody, you know, reads any of the books or watches the A&E series, I'm sure it's a different version of the story. It happened 200 years ago. Things are going to change within the retellings of it. But one thing stayed pretty constant, and that was that she focused on Betsy, and Betsy woke up with those bruises and welts. And she would pull the covers off of the kids and pinch them. And the sighting of that dog with the rabbit head.
What if we go to investigate this and run into the rabbit-headed dog?
I don't know. Do we kill it or do we capture it?
I mean, I guess it depends on what it's trying to do.
Yeah.
I mean, if they couldn't hunt it down.
Right. I mean, maybe it doesn't really, it's not something you can kill or capture.
Well.
You know? I definitely want to take a picture of it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, if we can get some photographical evidence.
Yeah, that's something that we would definitely have to bring. Some, you know, ways to record any voices that we hear or any sounds. And I would also like to have a camera just in case we do capture things. Because lots of times cameras capture things that you don't see.
Yeah, yeah, stuff that you can't see with the naked eye appears on film.
Yeah. So, yeah. If anybody has more information about the Bell Witch, let us know. Also, if you have a suggestion for us to talk about on our Creaky podcast, hashtag Creaky, leave us a message. There is a link in the summary where you can leave us a voice message, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram and send us a message that way. Just look up hashtag Creaky podcast. Brooks, do you have an idea for what we want to discuss next episode?
Right now I'm kind of stuck on witches in my head right now, so I'm not really sure right now.
Well,
I was just thinking with our investigation and whatnot, you know, with our past, does it mean that we encountered a witch when we were little?
Possibly. People don't know this story because we talked about it on our other podcast, just Bro Show. But we did have an encounter with something that we didn't see, but we definitely heard. And it was us and our sister, Jessie. And we didn't know that we encountered the same thing until years later as adults. Do you want to go into that, Brooks?
Yes. Yes, I do. It was actually a couple Christmases ago. So it wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't.
It's probably a couple years ago. We were all having a family get together. And I can't remember if it was me or someone else who brought it up. We were just talking about just spooky things in general. And talk about, yeah, when I was little, I used to lay in bed and I could swear I could hear singing coming from the bathroom. And both Megan and Jesse confirmed that they heard the exact same thing.
I did. I would hear it in the middle of the night and run by and go get in the bed with our mom and dad. Because it was really scary. And I knew it was in the bathroom because it was super loud when I walked past the bathroom. And in my head, I imagined it was angels singing in the bathtub. But I think I did that to make myself feel better. I definitely never saw angels and did not get that warm, fuzzy feeling that angels give you when yes. I heard it.
And oddly enough, you confirmed too. Like I asked you straight out. I said, you know, what did you hear when, you know, that singing from the bathroom? And you confirmed with me that it was just humming like a tune.
It was.
I was like, oh my God, yes, that's exactly what I heard. It was no words or anything. It was just humming a tune. Mm-hmm. And it was, I didn't picture angels in my head because I actually had a dream one night where I could hear the singing and I was being drawn to it. Like I remember getting out of bed and walking into the bathroom and being like inside of my own body, you know, yelling at myself like, oh my God, what are you doing? Don't go in there, turn around, run. And I just kept walking in there and there was a woman in the bathtub with long black hair and she was soaking wet and her skin was all pale and blue looking like she had been underwater for like a really long time. And you can see like the veins and these weird like vines were coming out of the bathtub slowly and reaching for me as I was walking towards her.
Oh, yeah.
So that's like one of the main things I remember about hearing that singing and having that that nightmare.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't remember experiencing anything physical, like being touched or my covers being like pulled mm-hmm. down, you know? It was just the sinking, and I heard it multiple times. It wasn't just once. And to me, it sounded like not just one person was singing. It sounded like multiple. And it could have been just because of an echo, you know, in the bathroom.
Yeah. Did you just hear something?
No. What was that?
Well, I told you earlier how I have mic monitoring on where I can, you know, hear myself and stuff.
Right.
And it's louder to me. I can hear stuff going on in my room, like my fan going. Mm-hmm. And I could have just swore I heard someone go, pss, pss, like trying to get my attention. And it was loud.
Oh.
It was really loud. I immediately just started looking around because it sounded like someone just went, pss, pss.
Maybe we'll hear it on the playback, but.
Yeah.
Maybe talking about the Bell Witch conjured some stuff up.
Oh God. Or the witch we encountered when we were little. That was really weird though.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
It was really weird. Cause I mean, it got my attention. I turned as if someone was trying to get my attention, but I heard it come in over my mic. Cause my mic is more sensitive. Like I can hear, like if I take my headphones off, I can't really like hear the fan and stuff in the background as loud as I can right now. So maybe right. It wasn't even that loud, but I heard it through the microphone and through my headset go, psst.
Oh. That's creepy. Yeah, that was...
But I'm sorry. That was just really weird.
So only on Creaky Podcast will you hear.
Creaky. I just want to make sure if anyone else heard the psst come over on my end.
Well, whenever I go back to editing, I'm definitely going to listen for it.
Yeah. See if you hear the you know, maybe, I don't know. Anyway.
Sleep well tonight, Brooks.
Yeah. We have nightmares again about the bathtub witch.
Well, you know, I don't think our creaky listeners have heard of our experiences with what we call the great white monkey bat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
So maybe next episode, that's what we discuss. Listeners, let us know. What do you want to hear about? If there's anything specific that you want us to discuss, let us know. Otherwise, mm-hmm. we'll probably go into the great white monkey bat.
Yeah. Also, leave us a message or, you know, send us your encounters of odd things.
Right. Yeah. We can
discuss it and our theories on it.
We definitely, maybe in the near future, will interview some people that have had encounters with the subject matter of our episode at the time. So yeah, let us know and maybe you can get interviewed by the famous Megan and Brooks and Megan.
Hashtag creaky.
Yes. And make sure that you like, subscribe, share, and leave us a review so that other people can enjoy the hashtag creaky podcast.